In 2 Corinthians, if you would look with me at the 6th chapter, 2 Corinthians 6, if this is the first night to be joining us, or if you're watching online for the first time, or even later, the previous messages are available on the website, no charge, no cost, and it would help you to get those because one is building upon another. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 11, he said, "O you Corinthians, our mouth is open to you, our heart is enlarged. You're not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels or in your own insides." Straitened means narrowed and constricted, the opposite of being enlarged. And then he said, verse 13, "Now for a recompense in the same I speak as to my children, be you also enlarged." You, be enlarged. Be enlarged. That two-letter word, B-E, yes. Be, that's how God creates things. Yes. Right? Light, be. And it became. And so that's how he does when he, and this is the Spirit of God that inspired this. So when he says, be enlarged, there's anointing in that word to effect that result in us. Somebody say, I receive this word. I say to my soul. I say to my heart. Be enlarged in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And this is talking about our capacity to believe, to receive, to take in, and to minister out. In the 10th chapter, same 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, he talked about not comparing ourselves with each other. And verse 13, he said, we'll not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even to you. Every one of us has a predetermined call and a preordained scope of reach. I'm not called to minister to everybody in every place. Couldn't do it. You're not called to minister to everybody everywhere, but I can minister to somebody somewhere, right? And all of us can. And then there is a measure that is ours. There is a scope that is ours. And we are graced for that. Not everybody's ready for you. But there's somebody and some group of people that you are just the kind of vessel that they'll receive by. You are just, you speak their language, they relate to you, and it's not just you, it's all the preparation God has done in you your whole life, and it's the grace and anointing on you. But if you're in the wrong spot trying to minister to the wrong people, you will be so frustrated and annoyed and aggravated, and you won't get good results. And it's not because God's not hearing you. It's because you're not listening to Him.
Come on.
And it can be fixed.
Yes.
I said it can be fixed.
Yes.
But you got to be real about getting before Him and saying, Lord, I will go wherever you want me to go. I will do whatever you want. You got to mean that.
Yes.
I said you got to mean that. I will help whoever you say help. And the enemy will fight you, and he'll try to get you mad and get you offended with them and all kind of stuff. And so many people throughout the body of Christ are actually out of their place.
Yes.
And out of the perfect will of God.
That's
which
right.
is why they're so frustrated
yes.
and so unfulfilled.
That's right. That's
but not God's fault.
No.
Infixable.
Yes.
I said it's fixable. He said, verse 14, we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not to you, for we are come as far as to you in preaching the gospel of Christ. See, he knew his main ministry was not to the Jewish people, it was to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
And that's what he focused on.
Yeah.
And then he said, not boasting of things without our measure, but having hope, when your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in regions beyond you. God's always wanting to take us beyond. Always. Beyond where we are. Not just according to our personal desires and aspirations, but according to his plan. Everybody say beyond.
Beyond.
But beyond requires enlargement. Hmm? We talked about Monday night, Phyllis and I, looking back some 40 plus years ago. Looking back, I see it so clearly now. The first thing God had to get to us was his word. There was no need in him talking to us about leaving home or being in the ministry, much less starting building a church. Or you hear what I'm saying? There was no need in him bringing any of this up to us. Our heart wasn't opened enough to hear it. But after a couple of years of concentrated, anointed Kenneth Copeland Word of God, Kenneth Hagin Word of God, Charles Capps, Jerry Savelle, after every day and night, couple of years plus of that, he started bringing things up to us. Want you to go here. And instead of just, you know, shrugging it off, we actually looked at it and said, okay, well, let's go. Not knowing how, but we've got some faith had stirred and grown from what we had heard. And our scope was broadening out from our little fishbowl we lived in. And we're beginning to be aware of the larger plan. Well, he didn't stop there, right? He wants to just keep feeding you and enlarging you and feeding you until he can talk to you about bigger things. Huh? And you won't just ignore him, and you won't do what we talked about. You won't stagger. You won't hear it and go, oh, that's too much. I just can't see how. Well, that just means, that's not that it's too big. Now that it's too big for God, it's too big for you. And he can change that. You just got through saying, be enlarged. Huh? Somebody say, I'm hearing bigger.
I'm thinking bigger.
I'm seeing bigger.
I'm believing bigger.
I'm speaking bigger. And that's all connected to God doing bigger in our lives. Now, in our first text, look at this again. 2 Corinthians 6:11. He says, oh, you Corinthians, what's the first thing he said? Our mouth is open and our heart is enlarged. The enlarged heart is connected to the open mouth. They're inseparable. We're made in God's likeness and image. This is how he does everything. He conceives it in himself, in his heart. And when he has it where he wants it, he speaks it into existence. Oh, hallelujah. Heart and mouth. In Romans, the 10th chapter, you're talking about the new birth, talking about being born again, how we got started in this, how we got, began in the kingdom. Verse 6, Romans 10, 6, he said, the righteousness which is of faith speaks. Don't rush past that. Speaks. The righteousness which is of faith speaks. Said out loud, righteousness speaks.
Speaks.
Faith,
faith
speaks.
Speaks.
He said, it speaks on this wise. And notice what he starts off with. Mm-hmm. What you don't say.
Come on.
In order for God to change your in my life, almost every time, the first thing he's got to do is shut you up. I'm serious. That's the first thing he's got to do is get us to shut up talking fear and failure and unbelief and I can't and I'm not able and I just don't know how and there's just no way. He's got to get that stopped because words matter. Words are working, whether you believe it or not. They're working for you, or they're working against you, but they're working. And we, our camp, our circle, Word and Faith, we know more about this than a lot of folks, and yet it's pitiful how most folks in our camp talk. It's pitiful. Most people in our camp don't really believe in the importance and power of your words.
That's right.
I said, that's a big step. Yes. Have you listened to people?
Yes.
Have you listened to what they're saying?
Yes.
If you really believed that everything you said would come to pass, you would speak differently.
Yes.
Well, that's how God operates.
Yes.
Everything he says,
yes.
Every word he says comes to pass.
Yes. Yes.
And he said that we are to be imitators of God as dear children. There is no other way to function and operate.
Amen.
He made us speaking spirits in his own likeness and image. This is a God ability to conceive of something in your heart and get the vision of it and be persuaded of it and then to speak it into existence. I don't know if you're listening to me or not. To speak it into existence.
Amen.
This is God-like.
Yes.
This is what God does.
Yes.
Now, we're not creating galaxies yet. But we should be getting our bills paid.
Yes.
We should be speaking things to our bodies.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
To our mind.
Yes.
To our families, to our communities, to our stuff. We should be not just talking about how we feel or how it looks or what we wish, but speaking on purpose to change things.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Somebody said out loud, Lord, show me how. In Jesus' name. He said, the righteousness of faith speaks on this wise. Don't say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Now, people will just read right past that and say, well, that's something that happened long ago. Are you kidding? How much of the church is begging God to come down and do something?
Yes, sir.
You say, what's wrong with that? Well, read the verse. He says, here's something you don't say. Keep going. Don't say who will descend into the deep to bring up Christ again from the dead. How many believe everything has been accomplished in the complete work of redemption? He has redeemed us, spirit, soul, body. Is that right? He doesn't need to do one other thing to get our healing or our deliverance. It has all been done. So why are we begging him to do it?
That's right.
See? He starts out by saying, quit saying that. Quit saying we got to get God to come down and move. We got to get this. We got to get that. What does he say? Read the next verse. But what? What does it say? What does it say? The word is right under your nose. It's right under your nose. Even in your mouth and in your heart. See, it's not enough just to say it. You got to believe it in your heart. That's the word of faith which we preach. Keep going. That if you shall what?
Confess.
Is this necessary?
Yes.
Can you just think it and be okay?
No,
you can't. The Bible didn't say God thought, let there be light. Huh? And it came into being. You shall confess, and in case you weren't paying attention, he makes it clear, with your mouth.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The results are assured.
Yes.
Next verse. For, this is how it works. He's going over it again for us real slow. With the heart, you believe unto righteousness. That's how you became righteous. Based on the work he has accomplished, you received it by believing unto it. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So when he said, you know, in our text in 2 Corinthians 6, when he said, be enlarged, he said that after he said, open your mouth. Our mouth is open. Go to Psalm 81, please. Psalm 81. Go to Matthew 12 first. Then we'll go to Psalm 81. Matthew 12 and 34. Jesus said, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, do what?
Speak.
Now let's just, you know, you got to watch about having heard something a bunch and thinking you know it.
Right.
You got to make your stuff slow down and see what's actually being said here and the context and why. He's asking a question. When the Lord asks us a question, don't rush past that. Stop and see if you can answer it or what the answer would be. He said, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Why would that be impossible? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can't bring to pass something with your mouth that's not in your heart. Excuse me. You can't. It's just idle words that have no power, that have no ability. It's not just saying something that makes it happen. That's why you got to hear something first. Right? You hear something and you're made aware of something, and the power of God's word brings faith in your heart and confidence. And if you get to the place where you are fully persuaded about that, Now, when you say something, it has power in it. It's not just an empty sound. So go on, verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. How? By speaking them. We're going to see that again in just a moment. How do you do that? By speaking them. But can an evil man bring forth good things by speaking them? No, because it's not in him. It's not in him. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what? Whether he means to or not. Verse 36, why? He said, I say to you, every idle word men will speak, they'll give an account of the day of judgment. Idle means non-working. It's the same word where the Lord told the parable about the laborers that stood around all day and weren't working. And he said, why haven't you gone to work today? Idle. Standing around being a bum. You don't want bum words. Empty words, vain words, phrases like, oh, I'm just saying. That's a bad thing. What do you mean? You mean I'm talking, but it doesn't mean anything. Don't pay attention. That is terrible spiritually. Words matter. You can almost hear people say, are you inferring? I have to watch everything I say. No, you can say anything you want to, honey child, and just mess your life up. But if you care and if you want to change things and you want to do what the Lord told you to do, then yes, you got to get a hold of yourself and you got to set a watch at the door of your mouth. Right? And pay attention to what you are saying, what's going on.
Thank you, Lord.
It really is this simple. You want to change your life? Change what you're saying. It really is that simple. And here's the thing. Even if you don't believe it when you first start saying it, if you keep saying it long enough and you keep hearing it, you'll probably start to believe it. And then when you start believing it and saying it, whoo, look out, here comes some power working. You can change your life with what you say. That's how you got born again. That's how you came from spiritual death to spiritual life. That's why you're going to heaven instead of hell. You believed in your heart? You said it with your mouth? That's not the end of that. That's the beginning of a whole life of walking by faith, which is believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth. He said, verse 37, for by your words, you'll be justified. By your words, you'll be condemned. And it's especially important when you're under pressure what comes out of your mouth. Because under a lot of pressure and duress, that tends to just come straight out of your heart and not your head. And whatever your heart's full of, that's what's going to come out. It's like a sponge, right? When a sponge gets squeezed, what's going to come out? Not something in the next county, something that's been put in that sponge, something that sponge been around soaking up, good or bad. So it matters who you hang around. It matters what you feed on. Matters what kind of music you listen to.
Thank you, Lord.
What kind of shows you watch. Does it or not? It matters because you are that sponge, right? And when the heat is on and the pressure comes, it'll pop out of you, good or bad. Oh, but if you've been feeding on the anointed Word of God, If you've been feeding on the anointed word of God. Hallelujah. What was that guy's when your son had that car accident? Got hit head on by a drunk driver, and they got the call, and it sounded awful, terrible. And y'all had been feeding on some things. And what came out of it?
We will not fear.
We will not fear is what popped out of their mouth. We will not fear. And he's whole and sound today. Hallelujah. You know what comes out of most folk? Oh my God, what are we going to do? Huh? Ain't no power in that. Ain't no deliverance in that. Ain't no miracle in that. But see, that's not the time to try to stop and figure out how to be technical about what to say. No, what's in you is going to pop out. It's going to come out.
Thank you, Lord.
For out of the abundance. Now, what does abundance mean? You didn't just hear half of a message last year. Out of what? Abundance of the heart. You don't want a couple of ounces of faith. You want full of faith. Right? The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Glory be to God. Oh, somebody say, glory be to God. Now, in Psalms 81, and then I think we'll go to Romans 4. We'll see if this works. Psalm 81 and verse 10. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Read that next part for me. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. What does that mean? So many times people have just looked at that like getting something to eat. Is that all he's talking about? Is having lunch? I'll feed you. Listen, several of the literal translations, they read like this. Young's literal and the LSV, it says, I am Jehovah your God, who brings you up out of the land of Egypt. Enlarge your mouth.
Yes.
And I will fill it. Wow. Do what? That's not just opening your mouth for a bite of something to eat. Well, what's going on here? Enlarge your mouth. Enlarge what you're saying. And I'll fill it. I'll fill what? What are you saying? Smith's literal says, make broad your mouth. The Catholic public says, widen your mouth. Say it out loud, enlarge your mouth. Here is a case where big mouth is good. Woo! Big mouth. I had the distinct privilege and honor, Phyllis and I, of helping at Brother Kenneth Hagin's ministry for some 20 years. And over the years, we actually were able to be friends with the Hagins and travel with them, and just gifts from God. And I would monitor his classes at Rhema. By that I mean I'm a teacher there also by this time, but I would sit in his classes to keep up with where he was, so that if I need to substitute teach while he was going on a trip or something, I'd be keeping up. Of course, that was a blessing for me, huh? And so he began to say at one of the camp meetings, and kept saying it, not every day and not every meeting, but he began to say, He said, someone is going to give into this ministry at one time $1 million.
Yes.
Now, this was back, what was it, been back in the early 80s, maybe? I mean, this was, yeah, back a ways. And so he wouldn't say it every day, but every once in a while, I guess the Spirit of God would stir him about it, and he'd declare it publicly.
Yes.
He'd say, it's going to come in one time, $1 million into the ministry.
Yes.
And months passed, years passed. But every once in a while, he'd say it.
Yes, yes.
Is that a big mouth?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Is that a mouth saying something big?
Yes, sir.
Huh? And he's not saying that based on anything or anybody he knows or suspects, based on something he believes inside. Well, we came to school one day. And they said somebody had sent to the ministry two $500,000 cashier's checks.
Yes, yes, yes.
And as Brother Hagin said, we accepted both of them.
Yes, yes.
So there it is.
Yes.
$1 million
yes.
into the ministry. Oh, thank God for Brother Hagin. So much of what we have learned and we're doing today, we learned through him. We saw it. He and the Copelands and those guys. Well, it wasn't, I don't know, a few months or something. One day he stands up and says, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
That it's going to come into the ministry a one-time offering, $2 million. $2 million. And he didn't. He'd just go right on doing something else. After he said it, not talk about it, not explain it, nothing. Well, a few months would go by, he'd say it again.
Yes.
He might say it out on the road in the meeting. He might say it at school. And years passed. Everybody say years.
Years
passed.
Yes, sir.
And then I came to school one day, and everybody was shouting in the auditorium. And they said, did you hear? I said, what? They just heard an accounting. $2 million has come in.
Thank you, Lord.
$2 million. So we shouted and we thought, glory to God, man. You know, this is faith stuff works. It's. Now, did you hear what was going on? What was he doing? We wouldn't have known about it unless he had said it. Said it.
Yes, sir.
He had to open his mouth.
Yes.
Is that right? Open his mouth, and it couldn't have been just empty talk.
Yes.
He had to believe it.
Yes.
Is that right? He believed it.
Amen.
And so we had a class, and everything was good. And I remember distinctly, I walked out the side door, and it was a bright, sunny day, and I was walking to my car, and I was just saying, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brother Hagin said it. Brother Hagin said it. And the Lord interrupted me. He said, what are you saying? What are you saying? I stopped in my tracks. And you know, people tend to say, well, I'm not Brother Hagin. We all know that. But you're supposed to be saying something.
Yes, yes.
You're supposed to be saying some things that are bigger than what you can see how to do. You're supposed to be, because you're not even into faith. Until it's bigger than you can make happen.
That's right.
I stopped in my tracks because I knew it was the Lord. He said, yeah, but what are you saying? It didn't even cross my mind. I was just happy that he was saying it. It was working for him. But it dawned on me, and as soon, I'm standing there in just a few moments. He began to quicken me, just a little glimpse that he's got a call on our life.
Yes.
Ministry's coming.
Yes.
You're going to need monies. You're going to need things. You're going to need partners. Things coming. In other words, you better get your mouth in gear, boy. You better get it in gear. And thank God we begin to say something. We begin to confess that we'll have X amount of partners. And that number was real small at first, but then we increased it. And you don't wait till it's all done to start talking bigger. Huh? And you don't just say something to try to impress somebody else. That's just going to embarrass you. and you don't say anything compared to what anybody else is saying. You got to find out what's real to you, what the Lord spoke to you to say. And then you open your mouth wide. You enlarge your mouth. You enlarge what you're saying. Oh, the devil hates this. So I'm going to say it again. You enlarge what you're saying. Woo! You say something that God has put in your heart that's bigger. Bigger than what you have said before. Oh, bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Look in Romans, the 4th chapter. We talked about this earlier in the week. About Abraham. And the Bible said in Romans 4, verse 18, it said, he, Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. What does that mean? He had no natural reason to hope or expect what God was talking to him about. In the natural, anything you could look at or examine, there was no hope, no expectation. But his faith caused him to hope anyway, to expect anyway, that he might become the father of many nations, according to what? Come on, help me out. According to what? According to what? What changed his life? God spoke to him. That which was spoken, and this is what God said, so shall your seed be. Now, we spent time looking at that. That was when he told him about looking up into the night sky and counting the stars and got that vision in his eyes. Of course, that wouldn't mean anything to you personally until the word of the Lord came. Yes. So shall your seed be.
Yes.
Hmm? Say, according to what was spoken. According to what was spoken. Now, what does God have to do with his man to get this miracle to come to pass? We didn't see all the details that went before, but if he's been talking unbelief and how old he is and what he can't do, we got to shut that stuff up.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, who was it? John the Baptist, when he was about to be born and his father was talking unbelief. Boy, the angel shut him down, man. Why? Because words matter. Words matter. And the Lord knew he's not going to be able to explain this and to get Zacharias on track soon enough. This is already happening. We got to shut this boy up. So he. But what's got to happen now? He's heard the word. So shall your seed be. And verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God. He was strong in faith. He was fully persuaded. And what do we know happened next? God changed his name. Is that right? Changed his name. Now, everybody that calls your name and everything that involves your name now is going to be changed. And so everything you do, every encounter where your name comes up, you're hearing father of many nations, and you flash back to that vision of heaven and that word, so shall your seed be. Did his mouth enlarge when he went from Abram to Abraham? Did his mouth get bigger? Did his saying widen? His scope reached out. And next thing you know, the power worked in Sarah's body and in his body, and the impossible became possible. Hallelujah. Easy for God. You know his big challenge? Getting people to shut up, talking unbelief, and getting people to agree with him and say what he said. That's his big challenge. Miracles, easy for him. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go with me to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm moving too quick. Drop by 1 Kings 4. You're not far from there. Oh, Lord, I'm really moving too fast. There's another thing there, too. Okay. Just brief on this. You go to 1 Kings 4, and I'll just summarize this part. The expansion of the universe. We saw that little clip the other night. It is, you can't put into words the scope of God's creation. If you think you begin to kind of understand, you don't. How big he is and how big this is. And we're told that as far as any of our researchers and scientists and whatever you know about, that light speed is the fastest that any kind of matter or thing could move. But that space itself can expand faster than light. And that when God created everything and he said, light be, it exploded. And light and matter and energy and most of it, you can't see. And those who are studying these things now, they're calling it dark energy. And you can't see it. But the expansion of it came from what? Do you remember what happened? Genesis 1:1. Don't turn there. We'll just put it on the screen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God is moving on the face of the waters. Why? Why is he there? What's going on? He's ready to manifest the Word of God. He is today ready to manifest. But nothing's happening until somebody says something. And God, what did he do? What did he do? He spoke. He spoke. He spoke. King James, let there be light. More accurate might be light. Be, and then there was. Light was. This is astounding. This is amazing. And so light is still streaking. They tell us that in 1 second, light can cross the United States 66 times.
Wow.
1001. You can't move your hand that fast. You can't. And that the expansion and the light is just continuing to just blast. And it didn't happen until he released it with his words. You and I are made in his likeness and image. Can you say amen? made in his likeness and image. How much of this do I say? Are you there in that place? We said 1 Kings 4. 1 Kings 4. No. Stay right there. Put on the screen 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. And this is referring to what we were just talking about. Genesis 1. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has done what? Where? Where? In our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What he did in creation of the material universe, he has done in the universe of our inner being. He has spoken light and life. That's, you know, people that don't believe in God, they call it the Big Bang. When God spoke, maybe there was a Big Bang. But all that happened and generated out of that when you were born again. Your being was recreated with God, light and life power. And that's still going on inside you and expanding like the material universe. Don't take my word for it. Can you read this? God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Why is he saying that? Because the next thing he's describing is the same kind of thing that happened when he did that. He has shined in our hearts. God said, light be in you. You and I are beings of light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You and I are recreated in his likeness and image. We are beings of light, speaking spirits who have within them eternal life and eternal light. There's more to us than people have thought. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. None of it is apart from Jesus. All of it is in him and of him and from him and through him and to him. It's all Jesus. And we have this treasure, this inner, continually expanding universe of light and the glory of God in this clay pot.
Hallelujah.
Earthen vessel. That's why what we are does not now appear. But it will be seen time to come. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now skip down to verse 13. All of this is good, but I don't have time to preach on all this. This leads up to verse 13. We, having the same spirit, and if you read the previous verses, it's the spirit of the overcomer. It's the spirit of the more than conqueror. It's the spirit of the glory of God continually enlarging and expanding. We got that same spirit of faith. Same spirit of faith as Abraham, Moses, David, Isaiah, Jesus. Same spirit of faith according as it is written. So what do we do with all this? What do we do with all this? Like it's written, I believed. So what do we do with all of it? Therefore, I have spoken. What are we going to do? We're going to do the same. We also, we believe. How can you tell? Hear what's coming out of our mouth. We believe, and so we speak.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we didn't need to miss that, did we?
No.
1 Kings 4. Now we can go to 1 Kings 4. 1 Kings 4 tells of Solomon, who was so influenced by his father David. And at the very beginning of his reign, in seeking God, God appeared to him and told him to ask what he wanted him to do for him. And I mean, this is open checkbook. This is, he didn't specify. He had enough discernment to know that he needed inside him knowledge and understanding and wisdom, and that God was the only place you could get this. And so he asked for it. And the Bible said that the prayer pleased the Lord. He liked it. So which means you can ask for that too. Mm-hmm. And James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God.
Yes.
God will give it to you and not even laugh at you for being dumb. That's a Keith Moore paraphrase. So 1 Kings 4:29, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much. And what?
Large.
What? Largeness of heart. Wait, he had to. Where are you going to put all this knowledge and all this wisdom and all this understanding? God had to enlarge his inside. Woo! Largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. I've thought of the phrase that Brother Smith Wigglesworth, I believe it was, said many times during this week. He said, I'm a lot bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. He was aware of something that he kept coming up against. What's inside us? Is God inside us? Huh? Is he? God. How big is God? We saw in Ephesians 3 that our hearts have the capacity to receive all the fullness of God. I mean, your head just balks at the very idea. And yet, his word is true. Young's literal said, God gave wisdom to Solomon and understanding very much, and the breadth of heart as the sand that is on the edge of the sea. Inside his heart, if you could see, you would look down through here and down through there, and it looked like miles out of sight of shoreline.
Wow.
And that was the breadth and largeness of heart that God gave him to know, to see, to think, to understand, and to speak. Now notice this. This is growing on me while I'm going. Skip down, this is chapter 4, to the 30th verse. 1 Kings 4:30. Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than all men. And then he starts naming some of the biggest intellects of their time. Ethan the Ezrahite, Heman, Calcol, Darda, sons of Mahol. He's saying none of them can hold a candle to Solomon. Of what? What he knew. What he understood. What he comprehended. And his fame was in all nations round about. So what did he do with all this largeness? Are some of y'all ahead of me or not? What did he do? This shouldn't be too hard to figure out. What the next? And he spoke. Not a little nursery rhyme on the back of a Cracker Jack box. He spoke 3,000 proverbs. He spoke out songs 1,005. Verse 33, and he spoke of trees, and he spoke of beasts, and he spoke of fowl and creeping things and fish. Somebody said, well, he was big into husbandry and animals. No. The Bible said even the invisible things of God, even his eternal power and Godhead are shown by the things that are made. You can look at a rose bush, and if you had enough understanding, you would see eternity. You would see all kind of mysteries of God from the one who made it. Most people trotting through this life are spiritually dead, closed eyes, closed heart, don't see hardly anything that's obvious to the enlightened and to the enlarged heart. I don't want to be dead and asleep at the wheel. How about you? I want to be alive. I want to, when I hear a bird sing, I want to get a glimpse of revelation from who made the bird and how he makes him sing. When I look up in the sky, when I hear and see, I see a tree. It's all there. It's all there. If you got eyes that can see it, if you got a heart that can comprehend it. He spoke thousands of proverbs. He spoke of trees. He spoke of beasts. And verse 34, all the people came to hear what he spoke. If he hadn't spoken any of it, we wouldn't have some of the ones we've got. Glory be to God. Now 1 Samuel 17, and I might be able to wrap this up. 1 Samuel 17. This is the great account of the beloved sweet psalmist and great king David. You'll get to meet him one day. You'll get to see him. I thought it was really something that Brother Jesse Duplantis tells of an experience that he had getting caught up to heaven. He said he saw David and met him. He said he was the only one that he saw that had a crown. And he's a king forever. And so he said that they talked just like you and I would talk. He said, King David said to him, Jesse, I hear you're a musician. He said, yeah, you know, I play some. And he said, he looked at him and said, what do you play? You know, he said, y'all are quiet. You know, people have these preconceived ideas that's not in touch with reality, but people are people. And he said, what do you play? He said, well, I play the piano some. And then he said, you know, a piano is, it's this cabinet thing. And he said, David smiled and said, I know what a piano is. Should we assume they haven't kept up with anything? You know? I suspect heaven is up on everything. What do you think? Yeah. Well, this is back when David was a young boy. And he had just been called in from the flock and anointed king, much to everybody's shock and surprise. But then he just, everybody left and the big day was over, and he just went back out to the flock, and he's tending the sheep. And his brothers and all the army went out to fight, and he's left back home with the sheep. But his father sent him to the battlefront to check on the brothers, take them some specialty food items, and just check on them and bring back a report, make sure they're okay. And he gets there just in time to see Goliath, the giant, who was out there cussing everybody's mama, calling everybody names, blaspheming God. He was trying to get some kind of response out of somebody. And even the best warriors of Israel were just scared silly of him, because he was a massive killing machine. And this was back when some of the giants were still on the earth. And so David, who's just a youth, just a boy, he gets there and he hears that. And he looks around and says, somebody needs to do something about it. Cussing God and country and mama. We going to stand for that? We going to take that? 1 Samuel 17. This is what real faith looks like. It's what it looks like, acts like, sounds like. 1 Samuel 17, verse 26. And I want you to, every time you see this, I want you to say it with me. And David spoke. He starts out speaking to the men that stood by him. He said, what shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this no covenant, nobody, Philistine? Now friend, when we looked at Romans 10, the first thing he said is what don't say. Everybody else is calling him a terror. They're calling him a what? 10-foot tall killing machine. They're calling him a monster. They're calling him undefeatable. Right? And with that in their mouth, there will be no miracle. But here comes a boy who learned how to talk. Oh, glory to God. You don't have to be old. You don't have to have a bunch of, education. You just got to listen to God. And when he says, quit saying that, you go, that's right. I'm not saying that anymore. And then he says, say this. And so you do. Now he's got somebody he can use. He didn't call him a great warrior. He didn't call him a terror, a monster. He called him a no covenant nobody.
Yes, he did.
He ain't got no covenant. He's nobody. You want to overcome a problem in your life? Start calling it defeated. Berate the problem. Call it defeated. If you need a bunch of money, you look at that money and go, you ain't nothing. $10,000 ain't nothing to God. It's nothing to God. $1 million is nothing to God. It's nothing to God. Because as long as you're going, $1 million, where are we going to get that? You ain't. Right? It matters how you talk about your enemy, how you talk about the problem, how you talk about yourself and how you talk about your God. Winning or losing is decided by this. He said, what will be done to the man that kills this Philistine, takes away this reproach? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Verse 29, help me out. Help me out.
David.
And David did what?
David.
We already know the end of the story, but we're getting a glimpse at the beginnings of a miracle. This is where it started. David said, after his brothers had, you know, questioned him about it, he said, is there not a cause? This guy's cussing mama. You understand? He's cussing God. He's out here. Somebody should do something. Well, see, that showed all of them up. It embarrassed them, made them mad. And he turned from him to somebody else. And boy, that's a good lesson. Somebody don't like your confession? Talk to somebody else. Is that right? He turned to somebody else. And he asked them the same question. He said, what'll happen? Whoever kills this guy. What's going to happen? And the people told him. They said, well, you get to marry the king's daughter. And she's pretty. And you don't have to pay no taxes. Your family never has to pay taxes again. And he's like, he said, tell me that again. Tell me what happens. Verse 31. And when the words were heard, which David spoke, his words had something in them. Now, when a kid is just going around talking in the camp, they're not going to take that to the king. But people hearing this, when he would say what he would say about this, they would go, yeah, something's here. There's a spark here. And so they took him to the king. And verse 32, David did what?
Say.
He did what?
Say.
He said to Saul. Now what I want you to begin to see, this thing is growing in him. As it's growing in him, his mouth is saying bigger things. Now he didn't just say, what's going to happen? Somebody ought to do something about this. No, he says, let no man's heart fail because of him, because your servant will go. Say what? Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now, can you see what I'm talking about? He's gone from here to here. His words have gone from here to here. Can you see this? And he's not done. Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight him. Which is why nobody was fighting him. And nobody had faith. Nobody had anointing. There wouldn't be any miracle with any of them. Why? Wrong thing in your mouth. Now he's trying to convince David that he can't. You're not able to go to fight with him. You're just a youth. You're just a kid. He's a man from his youth. Verse 34.
And David said.
Huh? And David said. Your servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion, and there came a bear, and he grabbed one of my little lambs, took him out of the flock, and I went out after him. You did what? You did what? You chased a bear down? You chased a bear down? This is somebody who knows who their God is. This is somebody who knows what God can do. And he's not thinking about, can I go hand to hand with a bear? No, you can't. But God can easily. I went out after him. And I took him down. I got my sheep right out of his mouth. Whew, you want to make a lion mad? Take lunch out of his mouth. Is that right? Why? Because when he wrote, because rose up against me, which is what he did. He's like, well, I'll just eat you. When he did, I caught him by the beard. That means you this far from a lion. Oh, oh. I caught him by the beard and smote him and killed him. This happened where nobody saw it. Nobody knew it. Are y'all with me? That's the way God does. He'll prepare you in situations just you. Nobody sees it. Nobody knows it. But he's getting you ready. He's getting you ready. Because you got something bigger. In this case, literally bigger. He said, your servant slew both the lion and the bear. Now, what are we reading? David's saying something. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. It's a dead lion, dead bear, going to be a dead Philistine, going to be a dead Goliath. Because he has defied the armies of the living God. Not just us. Verse 37. No, no. David said, oh, come on, did y'all see this or not? He just kicked it up in another gear. Oh, come on. Oh, come on, did you see this? The Spirit of God has come on him. Huh? And he said some things that are amazing and outstanding, but now God has kicked in the turbocharger. And his insides did this. Huh? And it fed right into his mouth. And he starts saying, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. None of this, well, I'll go and we'll see what the Lord does. The story wouldn't be in the book. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. Did you hear these words? He will. He will. He will. Put it back up there. He will. Deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Now, look at this next verse. Saul says, well, go, boy. And the Lord be with you. See, these words had power to them. This is just a kid. This is just a teenager. But the words had so much in them and so much with them that the king, just out of his mouth, he said, well, go do it. Go. Well, you know the story. He tried to put his armor on him. He said, no, I can't do it. I don't know this. And he got his sling and went out to the stream bed, got him some smooth 45 caliber stones, checked the tension on his. Yeah. And as he advanced to go towards Goliath, he was insulted. Goliath was. He said, am I a dog? You send a boy out here with a stick to fight me? And he said, well, okay. Buzzards got to eat. Come on. I'll give your body to the buzzards. Verse 44. And then verse 45. Come on, y'all going to help me with this or not? Come on, help me with this. Then what happened?
Then said
David. David, he said something. He said, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield. Why? Because that's what your faith is in. That's what your confidence is in. That's what you're relying on. That's all you know to trust. But I'm not coming to you with advanced weapons or the latest technology or the biggest body or the fastest. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. The boy is on an anointed roll. Look at the next verse. He said, this day. This is happening right now. The Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will kill you. I will take your head off you. Now look at this. Then he goes, woo! And I'm going to kill all your buddies too. The whole host of the armies of the Philistines, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Woo! Hey! And he didn't shake and he didn't stagger. He ran towards Goliath. He loaded his sling and he ran towards him and he went, woof, woof, wow, bam.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Took his head off with his own sword. And all the soldiers watching of the Israelites, you could have heard them probably from a mile away. All the roar, the shout, and they all ran down into the battle. And that's what happened. The whole host of the enemy was destroyed. I'll ask you what the Lord asked me when I heard Brother Hagin saying the 1 million to me. What do you say? Not what's in your wallet. What's in your mouth? Are y'all with me? What's in your mouth? Because it's either restricting you and limiting you from receiving, or it's enabling you to receive more than you ever have before. Lift your hands, everybody, and say, thank the Lord. Lift your hands. Give thanks. Give praise to God. Bless the Lord. Give glory to God. Give glory to God. Give glory to God. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Glory. Said out loud, Lord, forgive me for any of my words that have been stout against you. I repent. Set a watch at the door of my mouth and alert me what I'm saying, what I should say. I reverence you. And your words will be in my heart and will be in my mouth. And your words will come to pass in my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.